need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, Jing Di Jemai, that's Chinese for brothers and sisters, although I know, I'm mangling it totally, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, Ni Hao, that's a little easier, just means hello. Kung Hei Fa Choi! Happy Chinese New Year from Bonoboville! Woo! Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Can I get amen. An
amen? Amen!
Kung Hei Fa Choi, baby. Yeah, baby. We talk a lot about migration, you know, but did you know that the biggest annual human migration is usually right now? I mean, when billions of Chinese people all over the world travel to their families usually, or their friends, but usually their families, to celebrate the Chinese New Year, also called Spring Festival. But, you know, this year's a little different. Yeah, a little kind of awkward because, well, the coronavirus is sweeping China. And no, coronavirus is not what you get from drinking too much beer.
I want a Corona.
Sunshine, no beer.
I want a Corona.
It's not about beer. It is a serious disease. It's actually like pneumonia, which I had actually a couple weeks ago. No, I don't have coronavirus. I don't think I do. I mean, I don't even think I have pneumonia anymore. But I had it, and it's bad. And, you know, this stuff can kill you. Even garden variety pneumonia can kill you. You can't breathe. And yeah, I guess this coronavirus is even worse. You really can't breathe. And that gets you fast. So, by the way, it seems to come from non-human animals. We are animals too, but and we're going to talk more about us being animals and the whole zodiac thing. But this seems to come from animals, some of which are in the zodiac. Bats, maybe? I don't know. Snakes? The last one came from from pigs, SARS, I guess. Or was that a different one? Anyway, this one's a little bit like SARS. Which is scary because that was really deadly. And so now many of China's 1.4 billion people are in lockdown virtually. It's like quarantine, especially at this time of year. It's like you gotta stay where you are. You can't be traveling and giving it to other people or getting it from people. So, you know, actually, gas mask girl would be very fashionable in China right now, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Shout out to Gas Mask Girl. Hope you win an AVN award. Anyway, we're wearing your mask because, I mean, it's come into the United States a little bit. It's, you know, it's got to be rough in China right now, and it's going to be America's future also if we keep barreling down the road to climate catastrophe with lots of superbugs and pollution and no Medicare for all. But anyway, I'll get back to Bernie in just a minute. But back to Chinese New Year, and we're playing some strange, I mean, is this
really
the appropriate Chinese New Year music? I don't know.
If static is the appropriate Chinese.
Well, it's coming through from a long way away.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's coming all the way from China. That's why.
Anyway, Kung Hei Fa Choi, happy year of the rat. That rat is very scary. Look at that rat. This is Max's rat. I don't know. I kind of like Sunshine's rats better. Sunshine made these balloon rats. They're really cute. You know, things should be cute, aww, I think, for Chinese New Year, right? I mean, this, I don't know. This is scary. We get mixed feelings about rats. Rats can be very creepy. Like this one, look, it's going to bite you. I mean, and carry disease. I may have even gotten a disease from a rat when I was in downtown LA, septic shock. Whoa, I mean, rats are nasty. They carried the plague, some people say.
That's a scapegoat, no. Don't
but
be mean to the rat.
They're also very smart.
Oh, yeah.
And rat mothers are supposedly good mothers. I don't know. You know, they're smart in a ratty kind of way. And they're the first animal of the Chinese zodiac. Can we turn that music down a little bit? Because now I'm going to tell a little story. Although you could keep it going a little bit. Because this is a story of the Jade Emperor calling the 13 animals of the zodiac to a grand meeting. And he said that the first to arrive will be the first of the zodiac. And so the ox actually was in the lead, going steady and strong, getting to the destination, but hitching a ride on the back of the ox was the rat. And then Mr. or Mrs., I don't know what gender, but the rat jumped off of the ox's back and got to the Jade Emperor's palace first. A little bit of a cheat, but maybe just tricky, you know? And so the rat is the first of the zodiac, you know? And I think that's some kind of a privilege, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, among mobsters, by the way, rats are the worst. Absolutely the worst. Now, we'll get to some... there's a mobster there. we have some rats here. Sunshine, you want to bring this a little closer to me? Your art exhibit here is fascinating. First of all, we have Chuck E. Cheese, the rat, who I always thought was a bear, actually. I didn't realize Chuck E. Cheese was a rat, but he is a rat, and that explains why I never eat there. And then this is... Splinter.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He's the like the guru to the turtles.
He's the Turtles' dad.
Their actual dad.
Well, adopted dad.
Adopted dad, right.
Adopted them.
Right, guru. Anyway, and he's wearing a nice jacket, or is that?
Yeah, he's like the sensei. He taught them all their ninja moves. So.
Okay, so he's Chinese or?
No,
Japanese?
He's Japanese.
He's Japanese, right.
Where did
he's
get
Nisei,
the robe?
Nisei, right? Second generation Japanese.
It looks like your robe.
Yeah. Where did he get the robe?
From some cool place in Japan.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then here above is the general Happy New Year.
Yeah, he's Chinese because he's speaking Chinese. So
okay.
He's Chinese.
And then this is Mexican
that is
or,
a
or
Latin American.
Latin American.
Celebrity rat, El Ratoncito Perez.
Wow. And then this.
They have the tooth fairy and they have.
Oh, right, the tooth fairy. Now, that's a little strange. If I was a kid, I would be afraid of a rat coming under my pillow.
I don't know. Anna, Miguel, you guys want to explain it? Los niños tienen miedo de este ratón?
No, because the rat is friendly.
Bringing the money.
Bringing the money. Okay. See, this is some sort of symbol of Republicans. They will deal with a rat, even if they're going to bite you and disease you, but they're going to bring you money, right?
You see, in his little basket, he's got the coins.
And right, and the tooth. Very cute, Sunshine. Your art degree is paying off as my assistant. So the secret of NIMH.
Oh, that was a movie in 1982. The Secret of NIM.
All right. Good. And this is a...
he's just a plebeian rat. He's not famous. Just like humans.
Just in a trap. Or no, he's in a flip-flop. He's got a foot fetish.
What is it?
Yeah,
a rat
got a
with
foot
a foot fetish. Or
foot
a shoe fetish.
Fetish.
Foot
fetish.
Flip-flop
yeah,
fetish.
He's in a flip-flop.
Oh, it's a flip-flop.
I have a client with a flip-flop fetish. I mean, that's already kind of a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. A flip-flop fetish. All right. Well, and now we come to... one of the great heroes of our time, a human rat, who you made look like a rat, Lev Parnas.
Yay,
Lev. We love Lev. Lev is ratting out the Trumpus. A client of mine gave me this Trumpus doll, who I think is a squeezy. And it's for people that either like Trump or don't like Trump, I understand. Oh, I have a scissors, actually. But I'm not going to say which I am. You can kind of tell by the way I squeeze his face. Anyway, he comes back to life. This is kind of a symbol of what Trump seems to do. No matter what you say, he just keeps springing back. Anyway, but our favorite rat of the moment, Lev, has ratted out the Trumpus and everyone who is licking the Trumpus rumpus.
Well,
this guy doesn't have a rumpus.
Really, you know, a rat because he's got ears and a rat tail and
yeah,
whiskers.
Yeah, a little heart nose, but
he really is
definitely
a rat.
We talk about corruption in other countries.
Oh yeah,
Little did we know we're the most corrupt country in the world.
We certainly are, and maybe always have been. But
always have been.
Yeah, but now Don.
Now it's in vogue.
The con mob boss is in charge, and everyone who's licking the Trumpus rumpus, including Rudy Giuliani, is what we like to call him because he looks Nosferatu, and Bob Barr, of course, and Pompeo, the religious guy. Actually, so is Bob Barr. They're both like super Christians, and both cursing people out and stuff. Devin the Cow Nunez, speaking of an animal, and Jared Ivanka Jr., the whole Trump crime family, really. So that's what Lev is ratting out. I mean, everybody. He's got pictures. He's got texts. He's got it all, and including Don the Con mob boss ordering on Marie Yovanovitch, the American ambassador to Ukraine, which Pompeo doesn't think anyone can find on a map, ordering them to take her out. And I don't think they meant on a date, right? I don't think so. And you know, the media, which everyone says is so anti-Trump, but they really give him such benefit of the doubt by saying, oh, they mean fire her. No, take her out. You know what that means. You who have had some experience with the mob. Kill her. That's what the phrase he used when he was talking about the head of ISIS, when he killed him. He said, we took him out. So when he says, take her out, well, you know what he means. And it's the year of the rat. And the Trumpus is being ratted out as the lying, corrupt, criminal, murderous, mobster, narcissist that he is in the Senate impeachment hearings. Not that the Republican senators are actually hearing anything. It's funny they call it hearings. Yeah, they're not hearing anything. I don't agree with Adam Schiff on everything. I don't like the way he kind of characterized the assassination of Soleimani as, well, it's okay because he's such a bad guy. Like, what? You know, it's an assassination. He just wanted them to tell the Congress first, which, of course, Trump didn't do. But Obama didn't do stuff like that either. But I got to say, Adam Schiff is amazing in his delivery of this kind of little impeachment scenario, you know, and he's delivering it like an amazing professor, really going through every step of the way and just smashing this guy. Whoa, practically had a brain embolism there. Wow, this thing is insane. The Trumpist lawyers, on the other hand, Jay Sokolow, is a Jew for Jesus, which, as a Jew, I think I can say is the worst kind of Jew there is. I mean, not that there's any... Listen, in a way, I'm a Jew for Jesus. I am Jewish, and I love Jesus. I think, you know, I especially love my Jesus jackhammer. But I do love Jesus, just the one in the Bible that I'm holding the head of Jesus jackhammer so that we can show it on Facebook and YouTube. But he has a nice head. He does. You take my word for it. Jesus in the Bible is fantastic, but to be a Jew for Jesus is to be an idiot, basically. And that is what Jay Sokolow is, and he sucks. Sokolow, what was that? Your mic isn't on good.
Of course it's not. Do they say messianic?
Yes, he's a messianic. That's what they call
them.
Terrible. Because they want to avoid calling them Jews for Jesus because they know that has a bad rep. So they now call it messianic Jews. And really, we know what it is. Or messianic Christians or something. But it's still just, you know, basically about being for Israel and nothing else. And then there's Pat Cipollone. Okay, and Max, I got to have you over here for this. Where is Max? Did he leave? On the part with Mac, with Pat Cipollone. Oh my God. All right, I'll do it myself. I'm a Max now.
Just say it like
so
this.
In Italian, Cipollone means the big onion. That's right. He stinks, basically, is what we're talking about here. And the strategy? Deny, lie, obstruct, rinse, repeat. Deny, lie, obstruct, rinse, repeat. And Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are just eating it up because they don't want their heads on a pike. That's right. That's what the White House supposedly, according to CBS, told all the Republican senators is, you don't defend the Trumpist rumpus and lick it good, and your head's going to be on a pike. But we don't know if it's true. CBS said it, so. But, God, did the Republican senators go nuts when Adam Schiff brought it up. So, you know, they all stink, all these senators that are not paying attention and that just are going along with the mobster. Mm. But back to Chinese New Year, since that music is relentless, isn't it? I think it's the same thing over and over again. Let's give a big Kung Hei Fak Choi to Judy Chu, the first Chinese American woman in the House of Representatives, who represents Congress, who represents the 27th Congressional District in California, which is where Bonomoville is. We're not going to give you the location. It's in an undisclosed location. But
we like
Judy Chu. She voted for impeachment, of course, and also a lot of other really good progressive bills and causes. So Kung Hei Fat Choi, Judy Chu. And another Kung Hei Fat Choi to, boy, I said it fast that time, California Assemblyman Ed Chow, born in Hong Kong, which is close enough for us. Another Democrat fighting for the people of the 49th District of the California Assembly. And speaking of Democrats, before I get to my illustrious guests, I just want to mention that it is endorsement time. And the New York Times endorsed two candidates. What? You can't make up your mind, New York Times? It just shows, I mean, I don't agree with Trump about hardly anything, but yeah, New York Times, fake news, you know, fucked up. Two candidates, you can't pick one. We only get one president. Now, if we got two, okay, but we don't. So, you know, I would have been like, okay, if you basically said Liz Warren, who I kind of like. I mean, I'm a Bernie bro, but Liz is my second choice, and I would have gone for that. I know you can't possibly support Bernie, but why go for Klobuchar, who makes me want to vomit every time I see a comb, and not just because it's her favorite eating utensil. That's right. She ate dinner with a comb once because there wasn't a fork and she was hungry. Anyway, that's not the worst thing about her. The worst thing about her is she should be running on the Republican ticket. She's no Democrat. She's certainly no progressive. But a big thing is, why two? I mean, even if you'd gone for Klobuchar only, I would have had more respect. But just going for two, you know, can't decide. Well, you know, speaking of endorsements, the counterbalance to the New York Times is Joe Rogan. You know who Joe Rogan is? Joe Rogan endorsing Bernie. Now, hello? Something just went off? Or are we on? Or am I on? What's going on? My stuff went off. But I'm still on or not? Okay. I'm still on. Okay. I don't agree with a lot of what Joe Rogan says. Maybe most of what Joe Rogan says. Well, I don't agree with a lot. But I do agree that Bernie is the best and the, you know, the most authentic, as he said. And he certainly didn't pander to Joe Rogan in any way, and to get his endorsement, for Joe to say basically that he's probably going to vote for him, which is great because he has a huge audience. But all of the Democratic establishment is very upset about this. This is wrong, because Joe has said some, you know, things that we all disagree with, we progressives, I guess. Although Joe is progressive about economics. But maybe he said some bad things about trans people, yeah. He's said some negative things about women, for sure, and people of all races, except white, probably. He's a problematic sort of guy, you know. But I would do a show if he invited me. And hey, he interviewed Abby Martin, who we love Abby Martin. So Elon Musk, I don't know. I mean, Elon Musk, okay. Hey, Elon Musk likes bonobos. He said he loves bonobos. So Joe Rogan has some decent taste in politics. Anyway, it's nothing that you should reject. You shouldn't reject. It's not like he's David Duke, okay? And yeah, he's the idol of the incels. It's true. Not the worst idol of the incels, actually. Not the worst. He doesn't preach hatred of women. And incels need love, too. Incels need a way out of their parents' basement where they're plotting, you know, the end of the world. And they need the bonobo way. They really do. Or else, you know, we're going to have four more years of Trump. So, because there's a lot more incels than you know. There's a lot. And we try to help them, you know, when we can. Because Lord knows most feminists, and we are sex positive feminists, just just want to throw them in the trash. You know, like you throw your back out. I threw my back out. But I don't throw people out because it comes back to bite you like a rat, you know. You throw all these incels out and then they pick up a gun and start shooting. So we got to take care of them, you know, just like we have to take care of our veterans who we send into these perma wars. And okay, so just before I introduce my guests, I want to say thank you to the Glennie Awards. And the Glennie Awards gave me an award for Best Sexologist, which is up there. Okay, thank you, Glenn Klein, and everybody at Sex in the Pews. And I also got another award, which is kind of strange but funny, the Best Moment on the Sex in the Pews. And Best Moment being when I said, but you're cutting off a piece of your baby boy's penis. Now we have to put that in context. I am talking there about male circumcision, which, even though I'm Jewish, I am against circumcision of babies. I think it's maybe not quite as bad as circumcision of girls, but it is bad. It is child abuse. And anyway, that's what we were talking about on Sex of the Pews. We talked about a lot of things. Great show. You should tune in. It's on Podbean. And you can also listen to the Dr. Susan Block Show on Podbean and a gazillion other podcast platforms. And you can give us a call if you want to talk Chinese New Year. Kung Hei Fat Choi, baby. 1-626-461-5212. So, we have some exciting guests tonight. And I'm very excited to have two Chinese comedians. Wow.
Hello, hello.
You know, every bad thing has a silver lining, and the fact that you guys can't travel because of this horrible coronavirus maybe means that you're on the show tonight. So I'm excited to have Zio Nu and Sybil Jin. Hello. Hi. Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Ni hao. Ni hao. And Kung Hei Fat Choi. Now you say it right.
That's Cantonese. I speak Mandarin.
Oh, okay.
But I can speak Mandarin version of it. Gong xi fa cai.
Oh, well, it sounds sexier than what I said. Yeah, very nice.
And the Cantonese version is Gong hei fa choi.
Also sounds sexier than what I said. But I tried, you know, and sometimes, you know, that accent, you know, can be seductive. So, okay, so I know Zio, is that how you pronounce your first name? Zio.
Yeah.
Like Neo, but Zio.
Zio is like, it's actually, I misspelled Zoe when I was a kid. And oh. I just got, you know, I just went with it.
So you were named Zoe?
No, we don't have English names.
No?
We invent ourselves.
Yeah, we pick a name for ourselves.
Right, Sybil is not a Chinese name either.
No,
okay. So so you picked your sort of American names or English names?
Yeah, I had a foreign language teacher, an American lady from Oklahoma, and she basically couldn't pronounce any Chinese names.
Oh.
So she just say, hey, you guys have to name yourself an English name that I can pronounce. So I picked the last one from the dictionary, you know, appendix.
Zoe, and you turned it into Zio.
And I think she was polite to not correct me. Because she, my thought, you know, I wanted to do something creative. So she didn't correct me, and I didn't know until like a few years later. And
well, all right. Yeah. Well, I like Zio. It's original. I've never heard of anyone else named Zio.
It's a mistake, but thank you.
And I like Sybil. I mean, that's kind
of
a sexy, wild name. Who's Sybil is kind of has all the different personalities. Wasn't there a Sybil with a lot of personalities?
Yeah, it's like kind of an old English name that I
yeah.
I named myself from a character in Harry Potter, so that's how nerdy I am, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't get any nerdier than that.
No, well, you know, it's pretty nerdy, but sort of Western nerdy. Anyway, that's interesting. So we're going to find out more about you guys and China and what's funny and what's sexy. And I, but first I want to introduce Mistress Erica. Welcome back, Mistress Erica.
Hello there.
Very excited to see you. And you look gorgeous. You want to stand up for my camera and show off your latex? Leopard and purple. Is that latex?
That is latex.
Wow.
I was trying to decide what look I was going to go for tonight, and I figured, you know, something latex. It blends in really well.
Yes. Well, yeah. We're excited to have you. We saw you at DomCon.
That's correct.
Right?
I was there. Yeah.
And yet we haven't had you on the show for a while. So we're very excited to have you back.
This is my first time here in the new digs. So
right, the new digs, the new digs. Is this your first time celebrating Chinese New Year, or have you done that before?
Technically, actually celebrating it from the core, maybe yes, but you know, you're always observing it.
Right.
You know, it always comes up in conversation.
It comes up, yeah.
Chinese New Year.
It comes up for us. It's a big thing, you know, because mm-hmm. there's so many Chinese people. And it's fun, and it's got these animals, you know.
By the way, there's 8 Chinese people watching right now.
All right.
I looked at the map.
We have a map that shows where people are watching. Actually, there could be more, but they're in different areas.
Well, they're in different
areas.
Yeah, there's but on our particular.
8 people in China.
Right now.
Not your relatives, okay. Well, we don't know. Maybe they are.
There's one from Shanghai, and then I can't pronounce the other ones, but.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Yeah. What is that? Kung Hei Fa Choi.
I'm not even going to try to butcher it.
Yeah.
But I made you a
Kung Hei Fa Choi. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, okay. So how's life for you, Mistress Erica?
Life has been grand. Life has been great. Mm-hmm.
And you're domming and subbing your Switch and doing
shooting scenes. And I did not go to the AVN this year.
No, that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. You know what? I finished the year because I'd done a few shoots, and then I was touring a little bit. I was in London for a little while, and then Vancouver, and then I returned to the Whistler Film Festival, and I hadn't been there in like 5 years. And I was pitching a screenplay that I wrote about my first year in the fetish industry.
Cool.
Oh, awesome. That
was quite a trip.
Yeah. Like a cool film. Mm-hmm.
So we do want to say hi, ni hao, to our friends at AVN. And you know, Kung Hei Fa Choi to Bai Ling, who's Chinese. And she's in Vegas. I don't know if she's at the AVN or just celebrating Chinese New Year.
She was here for the Christmas show.
Do you know who Bai Ling is, the actress?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. She was here a couple weeks ago. She was here for Christmas,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the Christmas show. Does she live here?
I think she lives in L.A.
In L.A. Okay.
But I mean, she travels a lot because, I don't know, she does movies, she does appearances. I mean, she goes to Vegas, but I think she actually lives in L.A.
Oh.
But she goes, travels around a lot, and she's so much fun, and a very good actress, and she was one of Mao's dancers, or I don't
really,
know.
Really, that
Mao,
must be a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I don't want to age anybody, but I guess you know she performed in Tibet or around there, so you know, interesting history. So how about you? When did you guys leave China, and how long you been here? Are you living here now?
First? Yeah, sure. I moved here in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm. Okay, and you are from, according to your Facebook, Taiwan? Is that like the Taiwan? No, it's another place. It's spelled differently.
Shanxi Taiyuan.
We should see a map of China, and you could point out the.
Oh yeah.
And you're from Anqing, or am I mangling?
Anqing is a small town of 2 million people, in Anhui Province.
It is a small town for you. Wow.
Two million is a small town in China.
I'm from Goldsboro, North Carolina. That's 40,000 people. Less than 40,000 people.
Because like cities like Wuhan, like where the coronavirus outbreak happens, has 20 million. That's like a big city. So my town is like a small town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For Chinese, that's a small town.
Yes.
And how long have you been here?
4 years.
Four years. Okay. Yeah. So a little less. And have you moved here?
I moved here. I live here now, you know.
You live here. But is your family back there?
I'm the only person from my family who actually lives here. Mm. I think you have family here, right?
Yeah, my mom's sides are all here. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm curious. Stand-up's not popular in Asia, right? I started doing it when I was in Japan. So did you guys start doing stand-up there?
I started to do it in China, and China had a very small stand-up scene.
Same thing in Japan.
Probably like 5 years of history just in general, and I started to do that in Chinese, then I moved here, and then I started doing it in English.
Oh,
yeah.
I think you should take your glass before I kick it.
Yeah,
okay. So, cool. Well, so how do you guys celebrate Chinese New Year?
Well, I actually was planning to go back this year.
Right.
I actually bought a ticket, and I packed my bags and everything. And then the thing is, when the coronavirus crisis happened first, the local government is trying to cover it up, so they didn't really tell everybody how serious it is. And
I'm glad you said that. And
yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. No. That's fine. That's like common sense. Like,
okay.
Common sense.
Yeah. But then the number just went up, and I have the layover over Shanghai, which is a huge city.
Right.
And
how many people are there?
I think more than 20. I think Beijing has 20, 30 million. Shanghai is like the similar size.
Wow.
Like mega city. So I canceled my ticket, and my mom was super mad at first.
Oh,
and then
sorry,
now she
mom.
Understands. Now she understands. Yeah, she can't even buy masks. It's out of stock everywhere in China anymore.
Oh, yeah, the mask thing. It's kind of sexy, but it's kind of annoying. Kind of annoying to have to wear it all the time.
Yeah, so I ate express ramen noodles this year instead. Yeah.
Okay, ramen noodles. So, but what about you? How do you celebrate Chinese New Year?
Well, as for yesterday and today, I worked all day yesterday, and I had udon with some friends and played mafia with a bunch of strangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great way to celebrate.
I
know.
We celebrate
it's
more than
awesome.
You guys. But okay. Now, I don't mean to be politically incorrect or like culturally appropriating or something.
We're comedians, come on.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, great.
No,
I
know.
I by
trying, I don't know. I'm into it. I like these little animals. I believe, you know, humans are animals. Well, we are, and so it's good to get in touch with our animal nature. And I really like bonobos, and they are the closest non-human animal to human. But other animals, you know, if we follow their movements and their, you know, their character, we can learn something. They, you know, we think we're the smartest animal, and of course we're causing the end of the world. So I don't know how smart that is. Maybe the other animals have something to teach us. What do you think about the rat?
I mean, I actually love the rat because of, you know, we have...
Because of Lev Parnas, tell me. No,
No. There's a very famous Chinese children's book writer called Zheng Yuanjie, and his most famous long-form story is about two rats' adventure.
I didn't put him on this board. You mean to tell me I didn't
put him on this board? Yeah, it's called Shuka and Beta. One is a pilot of a helicopter, and one operates a tank. And they're like, you know, best friends, and they explore the world. So I grew up reading that story.
Right.
So I love rats, and like even my mom was, there's rats in my house. My mom tried to like catch one. Because they're stealing the rice from my house.
Yeah.
And I would try to, like, send them away. You know, my mom would be mad, you know.
You didn't make one a pet or anything.
No, I really wanted to. But my
we had a dom living with us who had a pet rat. And she was. It was interesting. I mean, I like Mickey Mouse, right? Is he a rat?
No, he's a mouse.
Mouse. Oh.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Well, it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
A Minnie Mouse. I mean, they're kind of.
Jerry, like.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, Jerry.
Jerry.
I couldn't figure out. I was trying to. I was actually for this board. I was researching: is Jerry a mouse or a rat? And I never drew a conclusion.
There's a difference because in China, shu just means generally can mean mouse or rat. It's the same thing.
I think the thing is the rats have this tail that's like pink, and like got the little like. Okay, this is a rat tail. But a mouse has a little cute tail, and mice are smaller, I think.
So what do you think about a rat as, like, a lover? Like I mean, a, you like know, like, okay. Don't they all have different lovemaking styles, all the different animal types?
I'm pretty sure they are good at procreate because there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them,
Just like Chinese people.
Chinese people do a lot of procreating, right. Yeah, haven't you guys learned about recreational sex?
Well, through porn, I guess.
Yeah, and now speaking of which, I mean, what's the best Chinese porn? Is there?
There is no legal Chinese porn.
No legal. I didn't ask.
So we watch Japanese porn.
Oh,
we
look similar.
And, you know, people don't complain about that.
Really. Yeah.
Can I sit in your chair? I'm scared.
Don't sit on Jesus.
No, I'm not gonna. I would move Jesus.
No, it's okay. Jesus. You can sit there. Go ahead. Sit in my chair.
What about you, Simone?
Put on my boa.
How did you learn recreational sex?
Oh, shit.
We're actually close friends, but I never asked this question, so I think now is the best time.
How I learned recreational sex?
Like, how did you get your sex education since there is none?
So this is kind of embarrassing. Probably not in this house, but, like, you know how some girls are into watching gay porns? That's how I started.
Yes. Oh, okay. And where did you find it? I mean, in China, or...?
Yeah, we had, before there was VPN, before they blocked everything,
they blocked everything. Yeah, and even like now, I would imagine you could get a pirate connection of some sort if you really wanted
to. Yeah, now it's all VPN, they can get everything, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, when I was in Japan, Japanese porn, they blur out all the penises and vaginas. Is that the same thing?
They blur their faces in Chinese porn.
Actually, there are versions of that. Yeah. It does not have the thing, the blur thing. Like,
you have to know what you're doing and get that.
They have different categories and everything.
They blur the genitalia.
I should have watched porn with you.
I used to trip out. I would look at it, and they would show like these bukkake videos, and it would be like a woman doing the news, and she's fully clothed, and the guys would come up and do it, and yet their genitals were pixelated.
But you see the sperm.
But you can see the sperm.
You can see her face covered with sperm, like somebody sneezed all over her.
Yeah, and they shoot on their clothes too.
And for some porn levels, it's all about sperm. It's actually you know. I guess if it's all about the genitals, you don't want to watch Japanese porn or Chinese porn. You don't even get to see that. I mean, what's the closest thing to porn in China?
What is the closest thing in porn? I guess it's like a, I don't know, like our department store catalog of bras and stuff.
Wow, like Max used to masturbate to the Sears catalog when he was a kid in the 50s.
I think my grandma did
that was
too.
I used the Sears catalog.
Right, similar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, underwear is sexy.
Lingerie.
But you know what, in Chinese history and my limited understanding of it, there is quite a lot of sex education, such as the pillow books. From way back when there were, they would give these to married couples, I guess, but other people could probably get a hold of them, and they would have all the different positions, kind of like the Kama Sutra, and beautiful pillow books. We were almost going to do the pillow book for America, and we decided to call it the Ten Commandments of Pleasure instead to make it more, I guess, American. But we were going to make it a pillow book. There's the Ten Commandments of Pleasure. But it was definitely the Ten Commandments of Pleasure was inspired by the Japanese and Chinese pillow books.
That's the English
version. India has their own version of it, too, I guess.
Well,
I think
Kama Sutra is basically that. Yeah. So, I mean, I always think that, you know, a lot of times people feel that their culture or some other culture is totally puritanical. But then if you kind of play around a bit, you find out that there's quite a lot of sex going on.
A lot of like the novels and fictions from the 17th centuries are all about sex adventures and stuff. Like housewife cheating on their husband with monks.
Cheating. I've heard
monks is a really big sex symbol in
the monk.
Monk, yeah.
A monk, like a religious monk at a Buddhist monastery.
Because of the taboo. Thing.
Where's my Buddha?
Yeah.
So I have a Buddha right here, but it's a dildo. I mean, does that matter? he looks like a Buddha, and he actually could be shown on Facebook even, because it's
a sculpture.
Well, I mean, you know, his balls are in the back, right? So, I'll show you his balls. There you go. Facebook, you don't get to see his balls, but this is the Buddha right here. And he's rather large, implying there's quite some Kegel exercises you guys
deal.
Are doing. And it's made by Divine Interventions, who also made the Jesus Jackhammer. So there's a lot of Buddhists in China, aren't there?
Yes, I think my grandparents, my grandma is a Buddhist. A lot. Mm. There are a lot.
A lot of Buddhists.
Yeah, but Christianity is growing really fast. Wow.
Do you identify with any religion?
I'm an atheist.
You're an atheist?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. But you don't feel like you're ethnically anything religious?
No, I mean, I understand it. I read the Bible. I read, mm-hmm. you know, some sutra of Buddhism, but yeah. I'd rather read it in the form of studying it.
Literature.
Yeah. To understand different cultures more.
Sure.
But
sure.
just like internally, I don't really identify with anything. No, I believe in science.
You know how you identify internally with
yeah.
the Buddha?
Mm-hmm.
yeah. I'm bad. Okay, how about you? Are you Buddhist or atheist or Christian or Jewish? There are some Jews in China. I mean, there are, but not many.
I would say I'm kind of an atheist.
Kind of. Agnostic.
Yeah, agnostic.
Not sure.
More like, yeah. My whole family, they were Buddhist, but now they're Christians. It's kind of like Lincoln membership.
Lincoln membership.
Yeah, in America, because it's just, you know, it's easier
right.
for them to get around.
Right. It is. Christian is like a calling card in a way. Yeah, it's like having a credit card to be Christian in a way. But you know, and then again, there's your roots and what you believe. So now, I had a guest that brought me Chinese aphrodisiacs that I was using for a while. I don't know if they really worked. He told me.
She's curious. Her face, she's like, can I try?
This was Mel Gordon, Professor Mel Gordon, who gave me these Chinese aphrodisiacs and said they were made of, speaking of dildos, dog dick, antelope dick, and some other kind of dick. Like moose.
Tall tail.
Well, yeah, because I, you know, they were so much fun and everybody seemed to get off on them, but of course everyone was drinking and smoking pot, so who probably that's why they
not
were getting...
Not pot, though.
Yeah. But they seem to enjoy them. So I went to the Chinese market and I found them, and they are a variety of herbs, but still they are considered an aphrodisiac. Mm-hmm. Do you know about Chinese aphrodisiacs at all?
What does aphrodisiac mean?
Something you take to make you horny, basically.
Oh,
Zhongyang.
Okay.
Yeah.
like Aphrodite, the goddess of love.
I actually have a very interesting story because I used to be a journalist in China, right? Chinese people are very into eating dicks, you know, like
they're into eating dicks.
Not all of us.
Okay.
But there are some recreational.
You're not talking about fellatio. You're
no,
talking
no, no, no,
about
like eating,
like
chewing.
Eating, chewing.
Yeah, because
like
we believe something stupid. I think personally, something stupid.
Yeah.
So whatever part of the animal you eat is good for whatever part
right.
of your body.
I've
so
heard
the
that.
Eye is good for your eye.
Yeah.
So if you eat a dick, right? Eat a dick.
Your dick is going to be strong.
So did
yeah.
you eat a dick
and grow a penis?
No.
Or
yeah,
what?
So guys do that. So
right.
like, and they said, women, you can't eat that. Otherwise, you, I don't know, you would become like
you would
manly.
Get it. It might be a way to be trans.
There's only many dicks
yeah.
in China. Yeah. So
right.
So there's like this chain restaurant.
Do women eat like pussycats? No.
No. But I think like cow vagina.
Oysters.
Is a dish.
Oysters.
Oh, yeah, that is. In Canton.
Cow vagina.
Yeah,
it's
I never heard of that.
It's called cow's happiness.
Yeah,
it's
called
cow's
happiness.
Happiness
yeah.
is a hoo-ha.
So,
yeah.
okay, if you,
have you,
you
eaten
eat
that?
The cow's
no,
vagina,
no, no, no.
then what happens to you? You're,
I don't know, you're just. They're recreational eaters.
It probably tastes like tongue.
They eat it for the sake of eating some weird stuff.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Not
I'd be
for
curious
the taste.
How that tastes.
Yeah.
I might even try it.
So I went to this restaurant to do the story that they actually have a hot pot of like 10 different kind of animal penises and 8 different kind of testicles. And, you know.
Wow.
And like Chinese people, especially the people with social status and, you know, government officials or whatever.
Eaten away.
They will go there and they have this. It's like $300 per
oh
hot pot. It's really expensive.
For a penis?
Yeah,
for
to eat a penis.
So
like
this
a,
is
yeah.
not like the peasantry that believes this stuff. It's It's higher up. They
no, it's they can afford it more like. It's oh. not. I'm not going to.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah.
Like celebrities, I guess?
No, just people who want to have a bit show better off. Dick, I guess.
Penis
a better dick. See, penis that's how we are supposed to celebrate eaters. Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Mm.
But we couldn't afford it.
But you know, in the West, people I used to really be into eating mandrakes.
Oh, okay.
Which you yeah. pulled out of the ground and they I were like, know, they. They would have, that was an aphrodisiac. But I don't think anything is an aphrodisiac except alcohol. And maybe
oysters,
some drugs.
Right?
Yeah.
Oysters are supposed to be
like a lot
no,
of
No, I'm not
like
saying I believe it. I'm just saying.
Oysters have zinc, which is good for you. And I love oysters. And they do, you know what oysters, they have that slurpy like feeling of like a pussy. It's like when you... You know, like you're
it's
slurping
a
up
one.
A cold
yeah.
pussy, you know?
Young white
I think
wet
I
one.
Enjoyed yeah. pussy more than oysters.
Though. Really? You haven't had the right oysters.
Okay. Or maybe yeah. I had the right pussy.
A pussy
yeah,
is
it
cheaper.
Sounds like you had some good pussy, though. Yeah.
Maybe
yummy.
Got lucky.
Now, speaking of eating pussy. yeah.
Oh, maybe they should say something. In Chinese.
Okay.
For our Chinese viewers.
Yeah, Chinese
but remind
viewers right
me,
now.
Speaking of eating pussy, and
go ahead.
But say something in Chinese to our viewers.
Say something in Chinese?
Say
about
like,
eating pussy.
新年快乐,恭喜发财,身体健康,万事如意.
Did you just say eat my pussy?
Well, I have somebody who's dedicated to that job, so
oh, okay.
know, if I ever
okay.
break up with him, you know, you're welcome to... Yeah, it's weird. Like we don't ever say that in Chinese. Oh. I don't even know how to say that.
You don't
that.
Even know.
We don't eat my pussy. How do you say that? Like you can't even say that.
Oh, holy shit! Like,
you never. You don't say that. Yes.
Huh, that's
grammatically you can say it, but it will be something that's
yeah.
never been said before. So.
Well, your job is the you know journalist in the world for the Dr. Susan Block show is to find out how you say. Eat my pussy in Chinese.
How
no, you can come back when you're
yeah,
come
yeah,
back
yeah.
on the
how
show.
Do you, how would you say
how,
it?
How would I say it? Oh,
I
shit. That's like, holy shit. This is making me blush.
How to say pussy? Like, not vagina.
I know.
How do they say pussy?
Japanese is
mouth.
So
well, you
really
can say vagina.
It sounds really...
vulgar.
It sounds not just vulgar. It sounds offensive to
yeah.
yourself.
It sounds like cunt. Like,
yeah.
it's like, suck
oh,
my
yeah,
cunt. You know? Like,
yeah, it's the same so word.
But see, I don't find
word.
The word cunt offensive. I think
yeah.
it's an old English
I
word. And
yeah.
I mean, I understand
word.
That some people do find it offensive, and fuck you. No, I mean, I'm sorry to... you can always change the channel. And it is an old English word. It shouldn't be considered an insult. That's what I don't like, is people calling people cunt in order to insult them. Or pussy. They use that too. And I think that's wrong. I don't like that.
What about
because that insults to call someone a dick? Well, no. I mean, yeah.
But
yeah.
it's a compliment to say you have some balls. So
yeah,
oh,
and to
yeah,
call someone
weird.
A dick is
yeah.
not the worst thing. It's like, it's yeah, it's almost a compliment. It's like, saying you're kind of a bastard. That's just not bad enough. Mm. You know, like calling someone a pussy, you know, is sort of considered to be a sissy. And I mean, I love sissies, you know, but on the other hand, I don't think it's nice to like call people that kind of thing when they haven't come out as wanting to be that. It's an insult. So don't insult people with sexual terms. I think that's what the bottom line is. And I'll try not to call people dicks. I don't usually call them dicks. I usually call them assholes, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or for Trump especially, I call him a shithole because that's what he called all those African countries. But, okay, so you want to say something? Did you already? You both said.
What's your favorite joke in Chinese?
Thing.
You can say it. Oh, shit. Favorite joke in Chinese.
Do you want me to say that in Chinese or English?
Mm. Say it in both. Because we don't know what you're going to say, so.
Oh, shit.
Favorite joke. Okay, I would say it in English. It's actually a story tied into the whole pornography and monk thing.
Okay, yeah.
So. I don't know if it really happened in the past or just a hearsay, but apparently there's a place, right? And women go to the local temple to pray to have a kid. And a lot of like people who have problem having kids, you
sure.
know.
Sure, fertility, like
yeah.
better than a fertility clinic,
and back
probably.
In the days, this is ancient China, like women can't really get in contact with men who are not their family members. So the only strangers will be monk. monks.
Oh, the monk comes out to.
So they would go to the temple, and then they go back, and they are pregnant. And words get on the street saying, "Wow, this temple really works." You pray, you go there, and you don't have a baby. Now you have a baby. And later they find out they would spend a night in the temple.
With that charitable monk.
To feel the, you know, the power of Buddha.
Good for those monks.
So the monks were really fertile, but the husbands were not that fertile?
Yeah, that's essentially the thing. And it's really like, it's a sexist country back in the days. So men, even they were not even if they're infertile, they don't want to admit it.
Right.
It's your problem. It's the wife's problem.
Well,
the wife go back and say, no,
see,
it's fixed. It's Buddha. Buddha's power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good for Buddha.
They beat him at their own game.
Buddha, you know how to do it. Yeah, you got some hot monks there. All right. Well, you know, I'm going to tell this little story that is a legend, but, you know, has a little basis in history, in that it's about the Empress Wu Hu, who was a real empress in China. And I mean, she got there because her husband was the emperor and he died. Some people say she killed him, but she certainly is famous for killing some people that she didn't like. Poisoning, I think, was her favorite way. But she is she did hold on to power, which was very unusual. This was like the Middle Ages or something. Mm-hmm. And she would have a certain hierarchy of how nobles would pay her honor, which is the lowest would come and kneel at her feet. And then the higher noble men, I guess would mostly be men, would get to kiss her feet. And then a little higher, and maybe they'd get to kiss a little higher. And then if they were very high, she would open up her robes and they would get to eat her pussy.
Nice.
Yeah, she also shares the same sex partner with her daughter. So
there you go. Yeah. Well, see, so that's another legend, or maybe
her daughter is also pretty sexually active.
Uh huh.
In terms of sex partners,
Yeah. So she was a real character, and yet there are these legends, and maybe they were true too.
They're definitely true.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad to hear that.
They're like serious history books backed it up, you know.
So she'd share lovers with her daughter.
She's a journalist. She knows.
Oh,
I majored in history.
Okay. So you know about woohoo. I figure that's what she said when they would eat her up. Woohoo, baby. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
She's
okay.
Marie Antoinette kind of character.
Right. Well, you know. Marie, poor Marie. So I guess she got killed somehow.
She committed suicide after she lost power.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Because I think she poisoned her husband and her son to get the throne. And then she got it. And
right.
Yeah, she's quite like a dictator or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she got overthrown. She and her daughter both committed suicide.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I guess there was a lot of that going on.
You
know, it wasn't just because she was a woman. It wasn't she was like a bitch. I think that a lot of the emperors and their friends did a lot of this poisoning stuff.
Yeah, you got to kill a person or two to get the power.
Well, now you're starting to sound like Trump. But
that's 2,000 years
ago. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We should have learned something since then. Be more bonobo, right? I mean, I try to practice the bonobo way, peace through pleasure. You know about bonobos a little bit?
Yeah, I think they say hello by having sex, basically.
Basically, yes. Yeah. That's the bonobo handshake. They grab each other's genitals.
That's why they're chill.
Yeah.
They're satisfied.
And the females are in charge, baby. They're all woohoo, but they don't poison each other because they never kill each other. Bonobos don't kill each other in the wild or captivity. They are the make love, not war chimpanzees.
They're more evolved than us.
Mm. But before I found bonobos, I really liked pandas.
Oh, they're the best. They're so cute.
Yeah, they're very
See
cute.
That?
Of course, there's one in near two in San Diego Zoo.
Yeah.
I stay in a waiting line for 2 hours.
I think we had to return two of them, too.
It's a rental.
It's a rental deal.
It is from the Chinese government. Yes.
You guys get to.
You want to rent our pandas?
Hey. Oh, yeah, it's a she, Bai Ying.
Oh.
Yeah, she was eating like bamboo shoots. So cute.
She was asking if we ever seen pandas in wild. Is that what you're
saying? I mean, I don't know. I assume they're in a certain spot where you can't see them or something.
I mean, I don't live in the wild.
No, I don't know.
You don't see them on the street because they're like endangered. So the only chance you see it is in the lab or in the zoo.
Seeing trash pandas. Yeah.
Oh, and people like pandas so much. I saw on the internet a picture of these girls with dogs dyed, their hair dyed to look like pandas.
Yeah.
It's like a fashionable thing, I guess, in China.
Looks like
to dye the hair
of
your dog. They're very cute. I mean, and, you know, the Kardashians could do something
like
that.
They might eat them afterwards.
Yeah.
What?
Kidding.
They what?
They might eat them afterwards.
Wait a second. The whole eating of dog, I got to find out about that because I have seen pictures of Chinese people eating bats, and I'm not putting that down.
Yeah.
But dogs?
Yeah, it's original. It's not. It's certainly not like a common thing.
Yeah.
Again, for recreational eaters.
Yeah, recreational
only. But there's a place.
Have you ever eaten a dog?
No. I think my family member has once. You know, just snakes,
I had donkey
dogs.
Before.
Oh, donkey. I did too.
Donkey's good. Yeah. Donkey's tasty.
Yeah.
Donkey sandwich.
I think I had some donkey. I don't know if it was good. I think it was beef jerky or something.
Beef jerky donkey.
Yeah.
Donkey jerky.
Didn't we get that somewhere, Max? We got a beef jerky, a donkey.
Donkey.
No, maybe that was
beef whenever jerky. Anybody eats a burrito, I say little baby donkey.
Donkey sandwich is like
popular
breakfast.
So how about kink? How about kink in China? I mean, you say the porn is pretty much almost non-existent, but what about
people watch it just illegally.
Yeah.
It's like smoking
That's
weed back in the days.
Like you don't have dungeons or like...
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Dungeons,
yeah.
Which, you know...
I was going to ask that question.
I mean, we know...
What do you do?
Speaking of like underground brothels, there's one guy... Now they're tracking everybody who got the coronavirus. Like, what have you done? Where did you go? So we can contact everybody.
Oh, they're trying to
find out about
here.
The virus.
Yeah,
to
make sure it doesn't spread so they write reports about everybody's, like, itinerary. So this guy's, the report writes like this, you know. He took this train, and he got to the city. He went to the brothel.
He slept at the hooker.
And then he slept, spent the night. And then the next day, he took another train. You know, so
okay.
So they're underground brothels.
So blame it on the hooker.
No, I mean it spreads all different ways, but
it's always the sex worker that
I know,
that
right?
That
has to take the
brunt
for it.
Wow. So, but we did hear about strippers at funerals.
Okay, yeah. Is that a myth or is that for real?
Regional.
Regional.
It exists.
Yeah.
True. It's all
so
true.
So you guys, I mean, we talk about Chinese being prudish, but I'm sorry. Here in America, I've never heard of strippers at funerals.
Yeah, but when the perv dies, you know.
Right, I guess.
What if a perv dies? No, I'm thinking it's a great idea. I wouldn't mind having a funeral stripper at my funeral.
I'd rather see them while I'm alive.
Yeah. Strippers. I kind of think they should come into the hospital room, maybe, and kind of help out the, you know, the patient.
Like Susie's Angel. You're dying.
Yeah, we could have we're thinking about that.
You get your last, massage or happy ending. It's like when you're dying, it's happy ending.
Some places use strippers as bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids.
Because there's a very bad tradition in China is that all the male guests of a wedding would like mess with the bridesmaid, and sometimes it can get really grabby.
Ooh,
and
that sounds like here.
Real sexual harassment.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
so
yeah,
so to prevent that from happening, but also keep the tradition, some weddings would just hire, you know, like a sex worker.
You know what? I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's actually brilliant. I kind of wonder if we shouldn't do that in offices and stuff, you know, so.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, I mean, there should be like sex workers hired for all kinds of venues where guys get grabby. Then they can grab the sex workers who are, you know.
Hands off. Yeah, but I think they should be paying.
Of course they're paying.
Well, no, but
you're
a stripper. I can grab you because you're here. It's like,
yeah.
Well, they'd have to identify. We have to work on this. We have to get a protocol.
We like to get them when they're dying. They don't move.
Well, that's
much.
A whole other thing.
Yeah. You come in like the priest.
Well, we kind of feel like there just needs to be more, you know, in general here in America, and there just needs to be legalization, decriminalization, destigmatization, and subsidization.
And de-escalation.
Subsidizing. You know, Bernie, you listening?
Is it only legal in Nevada?
It is, yeah, and it's very limited in how it's legal. It's legal in brothels only. It's technically not legal to be an independent sex worker, which, you know, kind of sucks for independent women, you know? So, but yeah, at least they do have the legal brothels. And
how did it come about? Like, why does Nevada have the
It's kind of a Wild West type of thing,
yes.
I guess, and also the fact that casinos are all legal there, gambling is legal, and so...
But they can only be in trailers.
Right, they have to. They have these weird rules.
Huh. Like you can't build a thing, you have to put it in a trailer.
And technically, it's not legal in Vegas itself.
Yeah.
You have to go out County. To, like, Carson City, Nevada is where our old late friend Dennis Hoff, before he became a Republican, he was our friend.
Bunny Ranch guy?
The Bunny Ranch guy.
Oh.
Then, after he became a Republican, he actually won the state assembly election and then died.
Then died.
Mysteriously.
He died? I watched that
interview
show like 2 years
ago. I think it was woo-hoo that poisoned him. I'm not sure, but I think the American version of that might have happened.
With a black hair girl.
Something.
A few
something.
Suspects.
Some kind of hanky-panky in that way. I just think that the Republican Party of Nevada didn't want Dennis Hoff as their representative, even though the people did.
Why?
You know.
Why wouldn't want? They
because
want
he's a brothel owner. Because he's
Sex workers. It's like a slap in the face. Like, what's the real difference between a politician and a brothel owner?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
Seriously, mm-hmm. like.
Well, exactly. Well, I would say that the brothel owner is more honest.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
most of our politicians is what
At
I.
At least
say.
You know the deal.
You know the deal, but they're and they're fucking you directly,
and you know what
not
you're
indirectly,
get.
Right? You're not getting fucked. You're fucking or something like that. You're fucking, not getting screwed. Okay. So anyway. Sorry, Judy Chu, if you're still watching the show, Congresswoman. But yeah, I do use vulgarities.
What are you working on? I don't know. I know I want to talk about China, but you know.
Well, actually, I have a segue here.
Oh, sorry.
And I got permission to use this as a segue.
Oh, okay.
Which is that you were saying a little earlier that you were kind of interested in BDSM in mistressing and dominating. And so we have an expert in domination right here.
A sexpert.
She's also a sexpert in all which ways, but, you know, certainly in her dom mode, she could educate you a little bit. If you like. Do you have a question?
Or just do your prepared lesson right now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's turn her mic on. I think the mic's...
I'm not getting anything on here.
There, yes, you are. You're getting
it's
it.
It's coming back.
Don't you worry, right. girl. You're getting it.
Gotcha.
There you go. Okay.
Question. Oh, holy shit. I didn't think of any questions.
Well, if you were going to train a wannabe
apprentice.
Dominatrix, an apprentice, have you ever done that? Have you ever trained anyone?
Done it, you know, I don't really...
And her mic just went out again. There it is.
But now it's back. Okay. And
it's better if you hold it up here. Okay.
Yeah. Did you change the batteries?
Much better.
Yeah? Okay.
It's off again.
It's off again. What's going on here? I always get the battery.
You want mine?
Okay, let me try this one.
Ooh, there
Much
you
Much better.
Okay, switch it. Watch your sound.
Okay, so you're coming to me, and you want to be a dom.
Yes. Ooh.
She's already got the dom tone.
I'm getting the tone, yes,
yeah.
for sure.
The tone.
Getting in persona.
From a classical standpoint, I would say you would be a sub for a while. You would work your way, and you would learn the feel of you know what it's all about. So I would be topping you. I would be taking you through different, so you could learn, you know, whether it's impact play, whether I'm, you know, teaching you how to do a rope scene or, you know, needle scene.
Wow, needles.
Okay, wait, whoa. Is this just to teach her, or is this because you're off too?
No, it's something that they have to learn. You know, I went through it, and I had a really interesting path to get there, and I never thought I would be a dom or anything like that. I mean, it came at a later time, but I always knew I had the capacity. I had a girlfriend who was one, and she would take me along on sessions, and at the time, I was more or less a civilian, and I would go up. There was this one, it was in the Hollywood Hills, and this French woman owned the dungeon, and my girlfriend would rent it, and so this one guy had a national commercial going on at the time, and this is going back to, like, say, 2002. And I'm watching it through this two-way mirror, just, like, tripping out. And then I came in, and she put me in some, you know, like, leather, and the guy was in the golden showers.
Oh.
So what happened was this particular dungeon had, like, this jungle gym, so you climb up there, and he's sitting down here, Indian style, blindfolded, and we just climb up there and make lemonade and...
Make lemonade.
Make that lemonade. Yeah.
Awesome.
Whoa. Oops. Yeah. Well, you gave it to him.
We make it to him. Yeah. And freshly squeezed.
Were you nervous? Did it take you a while before you could let loose?
It was kind of like, because again, it was newer, and I'd seen maybe a few other BDSM scenes, and I think the first time that I ever saw a really full-on BDSM scene was maybe 1995, and it freaked me the fuck out at that time.
Wow.
And I've always said BDSM is kind of like classical jazz or Chinese arithmetic. You kind of have to learn it to understand it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
So
I think learning and subbing off of an experience, being mentored by an experienced dom, that's a good part to it. I think also working in a house has a lot to do with them. I'm a former house dom myself, and
a former what? I'm sorry.
I'm a house dom.
I worked in an actual commercial dungeon, which we call working in a house, and from there everything really evolved.
Were you? Where are you originally from? Oh, that's me over here. Where are you originally from? Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm right here. Originally, I'm from Virginia on the East Coast, and then I've grew up all around. I lived in Toronto for many years. I've lived in Amsterdam for a while. And
wow.
I've been around.
Very international.
And
were you in Amsterdam, like in the red light district, or?
I've spent a little bit of time there.
Yeah.
I lived in Amstelveen, which is a suburb. But
are you Dutch?
My dad was from there.
Well, yeah. Oh.
So I have the whole lineage. It's going on. It's working.
Oh, the Dutch were great international traders. Yeah.
Like the Chinese.
Yeah.
Like the Chinese.
The Chinese.
There's something in common there,
all over
right?
The world.
So are you ready for the lemon juice shower?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow. Well, I don't think we want to do that. I do want to do a demo of something or other, but maybe not the lemon juice shower. Because the only way I would do that is if Donald Trump was lying down there in the flesh.
Get some plastic on the floor so we don't make a mess here. And
okay. We can't hear her. Her mic is not working. Okay. And so all I hear is barking. That's
Hello?
Why.
Okay, now it's working. For a little bit.
There you go. That's so you were volunteering your
okay,
body.
Okay, like maybe, not for pee though.
No pee.
I don't know. You can tie us up or you could.
I can probably
improv.
Wow.
Sunshine would like a partner to be tied up to. Would anyone? Would you like to volunteer? Would you want to be tied up or no?
You
can say no, but you could say yes. Or do we have rope? Do we have any rope? Yes. Oh, back here. Look at that. We even have it beautifully kind of
or you
woven.
Have the whip, but
this is the perfect Chinese New Year rope.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
It's totally, you know...
That looks
gold.
Irish to me.
Yeah, that's Irish. That's save that for
it's from the
St. Patty's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, this is a good rope. So so have you ever been tied up, either of you?
I'm not into it.
She has,
I guess.
Yeah, at some point, yeah.
At some point, you were.
That's why I voluntold her.
Was it consensual?
This is
yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. No, actually, I was once tied up non-consensually. There was someone who broke into my place, and Max saved my life. He was going to kill me. That's right.
That's an insane story.
It's an insane story, which we'll tell sometime.
That's why I tell you guys don't give out the address.
But, we're very, very careful because people love sex, but, you know, they have their opinions. And sometimes they think they should take matters into their hands, and their hands are violent, not bonobo. So we're very careful. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location. And we love you all. We love you, even you messed up people. But we're not inviting you here, you messed up people. That's all. You can call us on the phone, and that would be fine, or write to us. But you can't come here if you're messed up. So you could tie up Sunshine. I have a bad back right now. I threw my back out.
You can supervise.
I can supervise, as usual.
She can supervise.
But I'm wondering if either of you would like to be tied up with Sunshine.
I'm okay.
Okay, what do you want to do? You're the one doing it, right?
I was going to do a little bit of flogging and maybe a little bit of rope work, and maybe I'll improv a little rope here.
Sunshine does not like to be hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you got to be really into it.
Right. So that's why we were thinking
my
of the bondage.
My nipples are the biggest thing. I don't want people.
The biggest
to
thing. Now we want to
no.
see them.
No, they're not the biggest. Okay, they're not big, but they're just sensitive. Like,
sensitive,
I don't want
yes,
you.
I had
like,
no nipple clamps.
Madame Fatal decided to bite my nipple when we did Bonoboville Communion.
And that was a no.
I was not happy
we
about
love
that.
You, Madame Fatal.
No, I love
Fatal.
Her, but
we
I didn't
you.
Like her biting. I was like, did you bite my nipple? And she's like, yeah. I was like, don't bite my nipple.
Okay, don't bite her nipple. So
no nipple biting.
Okay.
No nipple biting.
For sure.
I mean, spanking is okay. Just
spanking
like
is okay.
Spanking.
An over-the-knee spanking, maybe? Or
just don't let me break your ass.
Simple.
I don't know if you have a deerskin leather flogger.
I have some bull leather floggers right now.
Bull leather might be a little rough.
She slipped into a really sexy voice
she
to
does.
Say that. She's like, well,
she has different leather. Voices. Yeah. Okay, well, let's have a feel of the bull. But, I mean, like, do you want to use the rope?
Let's see what I can do. Okay. The last rope scene I did, I was the rope bottom.
Right.
And I was doing it at Torture Guard in London.
Well,
and
I can
it
tie
was
you
amazing.
Up, honey, and whack you.
If you wanted to.
You'd have to strip down.
What are you guys doing?
Well, no.
What are we
were going to have Sunshine tied up.
Okay.
And she was going to do a little mild whipping.
Whipping.
A little demonstration. Mostly we're demonstrating attitude for our other guests who are interested in this. Are you interested? You're interested?
Interesting.
I mean, you're not interested in doing it. I could tell you hesitated a lot.
In public is another thing.
And she knows how to say no because her name is practically no. It's, it's Zio, which is close to Neo, which is close to no. So she said no, okay. Because, you know, people are watching in China. And I guess that's a concern. So you can do this as a demo,
okay?
And you can watch and ask questions because you're a journalist.
Show her the way.
Well, more than observe, you can ask questions. So you want to come up here? Get out of my
so this
chair.
It's art. This is art. It's all
right.
Art.
Art. I've always said rope is probably the most artistic thing.
You can justify
it's very
anything if you say it's
okay. Lines,
so
linear.
I will give you the rope.
Gracias.
Mistress.
We don't have another camera.
Someone should take him.
Where's the third camera?
Mm.
I shouldn't have
okay. Well, I'll hold your mic, but I should. You know what? I'm going to sit right down with you. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we have to do a quick thing. We're not doing Bonoboville Communion because we don't have time.
Okay.
All right. So come on a little closer, come on up here. Come on, you could sit, where could they sit? They could sit here and here, so you're not all the way back there. Right here, it's good. Okay, so how you feeling, Sunshine?
Nervous like I always am, but
all right.
Well, excited, nervous. What is she doing?
Nothing to be nervous about.
She's unraveling the rope is what she's doing.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to have a little rope bondage. And we had someone here, Sarah Vibes, who did bondassage.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was fun. She tied her up and massaged her.
Ah.
Isn't that interesting?
Blindfolded.
See? There's a lot you can do in kink. It's not all about pain and lemon showers.
This is so true. I've always said that I'm more of a sensual dom than a sadist, even though I can be quite a sadist. But
I'm sure you can.
But you know what? I play many different roles as well.
All right. Well, okay. Just don't poison us like Empress Wuhu. Okay, so
yeah,
here we go.
Poison's never really been my thing.
So now we've got the rope. We're untying the rope. And have you ever observed a dominatrix?
No, actually, this is completely new to me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is very exciting.
Never in real life.
So there's not one working dungeon in China.
No, we don't have that.
I was a minor back then, so that will be possible.
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing for Chinese New Year because you're supposed to have fireworks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, does that mean sex for you guys, fireworks? I always equate fireworks with sex, but I have a dirty mind.
So light you a fire kind of, you know, reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Orgasm, fireworks.
Do they have strip clubs in China or no?
They had something close, and that was shut down.
Bra on.
Yeah.
What? Bra on.
Dongguan.
Bra on strip clubs. Yeah. Right. Okay.
They had, like, it's mostly in, like, secret karaoke places or, like...
Yeah. Like
I tell you, this is one of the reasons that China has so many people. Is because there's not enough recreational sex, a lot of procreational sex, right? So they got to have the regular sex, you know, regular meaning intercourse, which leads to babies. So you know, but I love the way the Chinese wear pajamas all the time. Not all the time, but on the weekends. I was looking at the internet told me that
maybe
and actually
Chinese,
we see them in this area because there's a lot of Chinese people. That
brush
live in the Bonoboville area,
the
and they walk around on the weekend in their pajamas, literally.
They're comfy.
I just think it's great. Yeah. I do that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't go out shopping in them, but they do, and I think that's brilliant.
Okay,
here we go. Oh, around her neck.
Like a cocker spaniel. Every time I get nervous, I have to pee. Okay.
And around the under the boobs. Boob frame. Okay. You're going to what?
Mainly improv.
Yes. Well, that's what it's all about. You know?
I haven't done a real rope scene as a top in maybe 8 or 9 months. So
okay. Well, just
rusty.
A little bit of rope and then a little bit of spanking lightly. And we're good. Yes.
So one of my questions, I just thought of a question. Do male doms start as a sub before they do it? Sorry, am I interrupting?
I know a lot of male doms are going to want to kill me, but I think a lot of male doms are inflamed in their ego, in their male egos.
I'm saying
it right here on the show.
More than the female doms.
I think what it is when it comes to male doms, a lot of them because they're a man, they're gonna say, "Oh, I'm a dom." Automatically, I'm a dom, and I say, "Well, have you ever bottomed before?" And they're like, "No, I don't bottom. I'm just a dom." And I'm like, "Well, you know what? How the fuck do you know what you're doing?"
I know, right?
You know, how can you take me to where I want to go if you've never been there?
Exactly.
Oh,
okay. Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I mean, I'm also known as.
How can you take me to where you want to go if you've never been there?
Exactly.
That's worth quoting.
The thing is, you know, there's so many aspects about BDSM. People don't understand it. You know, it's kind of like, let me sum it up to you. It's an endorphin rush. You know, like when you're when you're doing what we call impact play, whether it's spanking, whether it's whips, whether it's flogging and whatnot, I think what it is that it builds up, and from the pain comes endorphins. There's good pain, there's bad pain. You know, and I mean, I've done some stage shows where I'm like, I'm in this like zone. It's called subspace. And when you're in subspace, you are in an altered state. You know, you're enjoying yourself. You're having a good time.
There's a lot to this, but now when she's talking, she can't be tired. So, okay. But that's a good question. That was a good question. And, of course, we have no men here to defend themselves.
Yay!
Guys, we know some of you are subs before you're doms, but I think, you know, Mistress Erica's right that there's a lot of guys that, you know, they want a dom and they don't want to do the apprenticeship. But then there's a lot of other guys that are just submissive who go to dominatrixes, whether you know, or go to male doms if that's what they're into, but more often I guess female doms at least first. This is very creative. Okay. Look at how she's very creative, different.
Like artwork, right? Artwork. Also, why do male doms in most kinking porns, why are they so ugly?
Right? Okay, I can answer that.
Yeah.
Because they have big penises. And that's the main quality that they're looking for. And before Viagra, and maybe since you're watching porn that's probably fairly old in China, so it's stuff that was done before Viagra. And before Viagra, it took a very special kind of guy to be able to have sex on camera, to be able to do it with all these people around, hot lights, a woman that you may or may not be so attracted to. And fluff girls are pretty much a legend, not really that present. And so, you know, it took a special kind of guy to be able to come on command, the command of the director, not the not your partner, but the director says, okay, now we're going to do the cum shot, and you've got to be able to do it. Even now, that's difficult. I mean, Viagra doesn't help you to do that. You have to be able, it's a skill to be able to come on command that some guys can do, and if they're ugly, hey, you know. I mean, mostly they're not showing the guy, they're showing the penis. Now, that being said, that's kind of stuff that's for the male gaze. But that's why you like watching gay porn, because the guys are better looking.
They're so better looking. Hot.
Yes.
And
yes.
They're not afraid of buttholes. That's
right.
Like,
yes.
Right?
I think Bill Margold said it best when he said that the male penis is like a prop. You know, during the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a very important prop.
It's a very important prop.
So, you know. Yeah. Okay, so I've only got a couple minutes. So now you're all tied up except your arms. How do you feel? Okay. And what do you call this? What is this design?
Just something I improvised, you know, because I didn't really expect to do a rope scene. But I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, do a few diamonds and
Right. But you can't really spank her like this.
No, you know what? Yeah, that's true. I can't.
I mean, you could kind of turn her over, but it would take a lot of skill.
Yeah.
Probably
do that. But
that'd be a little rough. But I think we're almost out of time anyway. So you better untie her, and we can just give her just a little spank goodbye.
But then
a little spank goodbye. So in the meantime, small spank, because we know you have sensitive feelings.
Sensitive.
Yes, okay. So let me just look at my notes to make sure I did everything. And I want to know, where can we reach you?
Yeah. You can reach me on Instagram, and my Instagram is at sibsibjinjin. It's spelled SibsibJinjin.
All right.
What about upcoming shows?
Where you're doing comedy. Or dom work, you know, whatever.
My next show will be in Pomona. That is February 15th. In February 15th in Pomona, the show dates and the locations, all the details will be posted on my Instagram, which is at sipsipjinjin. Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
Fun. Okay. And Zio.
I can be reached on Instagram. You know, Zio New for real. And
my show days is going to be posted there, and I have a new podcast just launched called Immigrant Survival Cast is available on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, everything.
There you go.
Everybody has a podcast, but why shouldn't you? I mean, you and you and everybody. I have one, I guess. I guess this is a podcast. Although I don't call it a podcast, I call it a show because I've been doing it before podcasts. Yeah, right. So, I also want to give a shout out to Mark Brown for making my hair as Chinese as possible, which just means straightening it because it's usually curly. I'm sorry, is that cultural appropriation?
Straight hair? No.
Okay, so let's see. Where can we find? Yeah, well, Mistress Erica, where do we find you?
You have a show coming up?
Twitter, Erica Reichs. R-I-J-K-S. And
is that Dutch or Swedish or something?
Dutch.
Dutch. Shout out to Willem de Ridder. Our other
Instagram,
Dutch friend.
Erica Reichs, same thing on Facebook. But if you go to Twitter, Mistress Erica Triple X.
And you'll find me. Dutch?
A little bit.
Can you say, like, Happy New Year? Or I love you, or... I don't know. I want to fuck you. Okay.
I want to fuck you.
Okay. And now a real quick spanking.
Real quick. But she's excited about the spanking.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe. Or do you have that big leather whip? Or do you have to dig for that? To do what? Well, we don't have much time. So whatever you do.
Fast spanking.
Oh, that looks like wicked. No. That's no snakes. Mm.
That looks expensive.
Yeah, that's too expensive. No, that's nasty.
She hasn't even done it, and I'm screaming.
Yeah, just the hand.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those sweet, soft hand touches. And now a little jiggle.
I can do that.
Very nice.
Okay, I can do that. Okay.
Okay. And let's have a hand. It's so funny that spanking and applause is the same motion. So, happy Chinese New Year, everybody.
Absolutely.
And even though it's the year of the rat, where's my rat? I want to get a rat. Oh, here's a rat.
Rats. There's a rat right
this
there.
This is a cute rat. You know, and Lev Parnas is a cute rat. And this is our 15th impeachment party. We didn't eat peaches. Let me have my peaches. We didn't eat them, but here's some peaches.
And those are from China.
And these are from China, these peaches. Yeah, everybody can sit here with me. I'll come over here and you guys...
That's great.
It's our 15th impeachment party. And we know they're probably not going to convict because they're not even hearing, even though it's called a hearing. But still, as Nancy Pelosi says, it's a stain on your record, which is, I think, worse than a stain on the dress, you know. So that's pretty good. And vote them out, you know. I mean, we all have our favorites. I got Bernie, but I'll go for Liz. I'll even go for the others, you know. But we gotta vote the fascists out and happy Chinese New Year. Now I forget where's my clipboard? I gotta. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh thank you.
I should say something to my Italian friends that are watching.
Oh, Kung Hei Fat Choi. Yeah.
Okay.
Kung Hei Fat Choi. Kung Hei Fat Choi. Yeah. Oh no, we got this silly music. I guess we don't have to pay for it. But have a happy Chinese New Year. Keep your masks on. I know it's tough. Let's try not to spread this disease, and let's try to have Medicare for all over the world, in China, in the United States, everywhere. We should have Medicare for all, and make like bonobos, not baboons. You know, make love, not war, and try to have more recreational sex. Let's procreational sex. You know.
You don't want to send your children into this future.
Well, you can have a few kids, but not too many. You know, not lots and lots and lots. Just I'm not going to go so far as Trump's favorite minister, who actually prayed today for women who are satanic to miscarry. She said that on the stage. I forget her name, but she's Trump's favorite evangelical.
All right, we're done.
All right, so make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. Happy Chinese New Year. I love you. Even if you're a rat.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question, or play out a fantasy, or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the make love, not war, great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. so you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.